All right, you guys ready to get this show on the road?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's 10 o'clock.
Everyone sounds so defeated.
Because we're going to get distracted.
Welcome to another episode of Pajiba, the Pajiba television podcast. I'm Pajiba comedy editor Dan Hamamura. With me, as always, are Pajiba managing editor Tori Preston.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Tori.
I'm distracted by the Emmys.
And Mr. Arkansas Brain himself, Dustin Rolls.
Hello, Tori.
Hi, Justin.
Earlier tonight, one of my children, she's in fifth grade, and I think she developed, like, right at that moment. There's a certain age where you begin to understand sarcasm and irony, and I think it happened all at once, because she had asked me a question, and I'd answered her, and she didn't believe me, and she was like, oh, you and Mr. Arkansas Brain and your state college brain, and I'm like, oh my God, what do you do?
Are you
the funniest thing?
You are raising a privileged little coastal elite. Wow. How dare she?
I was like, how do you even know state college brain?
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah. Well, my kid's very mean to me and they enjoy it so much.
Well, you know, just wait till, you know, What'll she say if she goes to, like, I don't know, University of Maine?
I know. Oh, I mean, it could happen. So I'm not gonna. Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how smart people's kids are anymore.
School is what you make it.
People always think their kids are really smart and great at sports and everything like that. And it used to be you could just believe a parent when they said that. But now they think they always think their kid is the best.
Yeah, and objectively speaking, my kids could be USM and they could be Dartmouth. I don't know, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're very young. you don't need to know yet.
I don't know.
Maybe just go straight to the Peace Corps.
That'd be great.
Do people do that?
Was Dartmouth the upper limit that you were setting for your children?
Dartmouth's amazing.
I'm sure it's next door. Okay. Is that why? That's why you said Dartmouth.
It's close. And like Molly's best friend went there and Mindy Kaling went there. Is it an Ivy? It's not an Ivy.
It is an Ivy.
Okay. And I love the campus so much. And they have the best Starbucks I've ever been to.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
Whatever. It's a really nice Starbucks.
This is the most pro-Dartmouth propaganda I've ever heard. I don't have anything against Dartmouth. I'm just saying, they're not.
Well, you don't live on the East Coast.
They're not paraded the way that Harvard or Yale or Brown are they?
Right. Yeah.
Literally only it's Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and then
Princeton. Yeah.
And then no one can quite remember who the other Ivies are.
Well, Brown graduates will remind you.
Right. Well, yeah,
Well, Cornell and Penn. Yeah. I don't know what the other ones are.
Right. Sure. Whatever.
Columbia.
Oh.
You sons of bitches.
I don't know. My state college brain. I don't
know. Former King's College, motherfuckers.
I like to think of Columbia as similar to NYU, even though they're not.
I mean, they are.
But NYU is not an Ivy.
No. The only difference is Columbia just has a campus. They have gates. NYU is just all of downtown.
Yeah, it's great.
Why are they Ivies? What gives them that distinction? Other than somebody decided they were the Ivy Leagues.
For some of them, it's that they are genuinely they're very old. Founded before the country was the country.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, it's funding and prestige and God knows what. I don't remember.
Isn't actually the Athletic Association, isn't that
Is that why?
Isn't that
their sports are terrible.
What? Right. But I mean, again, this is like hundreds of years ago when Harvard would win national championships and there were 8 schools.
Yeah, right. It was they were only against the other schools. Yeah.
Let's see what Wikipedia has to say.
This is a television podcast.
It's totally a television podcast.
But this is why there are no Ivies on the West Coast, right?
Right. That's why everyone's well, Stanford basically is.
No, it's not. Everyone at Stanford needs to chill out.
Settle down, Stanford.
I've heard all the great inflation nonsense about Stanford. Look, don't worry. It's not a big deal. I didn't get in, and that's okay because I didn't want to go there anyway. They had a terrible film program. So actually, I have no idea about their film program. But planting the ivy was a customary class day ceremony at many colleges in the 1800s.
Oh my God.
Blah blah blah. Something something. Ivy Club. First known instance, known use of the term Ivy League was in 1935. It was to refer to a bunch of older colleges, da da da, and then they became a sports league. So yeah, that's why the Ivies. There's a folk thing that says that attributes it to a folk etymology that attributes the name to the Roman numeral for 4, asserting that there were 4 members. The supposed Ivy League was Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and a 4th school that varies depending on who is telling the story. So it's probably either Dartmouth or Brown or depending
on Princeton, whoever, yeah, call or me Columbia, whoever, yeah.
Or Yale. Yeah. Anyway, so it's because of sports, Dustin.
You're welcome. That makes sense. Yeah. I've learned something on tonight's.
I always like it when you meet the kid who got a sports scholarship to the Ivy League and you're just like, all of this is meaningless.
Do they have sports scholarships?
Oh, yeah, they do. I had a friend who got in. Well, I mean, I'm sure she would have gotten in, but she definitely was like recruited for the volleyball team.
Well, recruiting is different. Like, was it like, but was it like,
I don't know, I'm not saying she got like.
Was it like, yeah, we're going to give you a full ride?
I don't think it was not like full ride. I don't think, okay, because she was able to like, she started school and like dropped out of the volleyball team, but it was definitely like, I think the idea that they were definitely trying to lure her in and that may have contributed. Right. She did fine. She's not like other people I knew who, you know, their parents.
This wasn't
the
like
the renovation on the like.
This wasn't like the admission scandal with fake volleyball photos and.
No, not like that.
Getting into a school.
Nope.
That's how we bring back to TV. TV stars buying their kids' ways into college.
It was a scandal. But I like how it's like, oh, we're just going to yell at the woman from Full House as opposed to all of the other rich parents who are like, I'm sorry, I went to the school, so my kid needs to go to the school.
Hey, the woman from Desperate Housewives got yelled at a little too.
Yeah, but her husband's William H. Macy.
Yeah, why did he not?
He didn't get yelled at.
But
yeah, I don't know.
Huffman did.
I don't really understand that.
I don't either.
Because Macy's a national treasure?
Or sexism.
Yeah, maybe that's probably it.
Yeah.
I don't wanna make
Hi,
more
Penny.
Jokes at everyone's expense. But there's also look, if you're gonna get your kid into, like, does it have to be USC? Like
yeah,
really that's really where you're gonna like, I mean, look, I went to USC, so it's okay for me to say this. You don't have to spend that kind of money to get into USC. Go somewhere else, it's fine.
But I feel like when it comes out, like if I were their kids, I would, I mean, the kid obviously knew what was happening because everything was faked, like obviously, right. But yeah, there has to be a moment of like, they, when everyone finds out you weren't going to get in without that, I would just be so embarrassed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would just be like, mommy, give me thousands of dollars so I can go travel Europe and avoid this scandal. I'm going to need another
But
beer.
Didn't that woman, yeah, the Fuller House lady, the kids still went to USC, right?
Well, she was there for like a year when it broke out. Like she had already been at the school. I don't know what happened after that. But anyway, television.
Once you're in, they kind of have to keep you. I mean, unless you flunk out. Can they kick you? They can't like... I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can kick you out.
They could probably do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Wasn't she also an influencer and maybe just left afterwards anyway?
Yeah.
Influencers. I'm drinking Heineken, Dan.
Why are you drinking Heineken?
Well, Dan and I had a fantasy football draft last weekend, and it was on the East Coast, which meant all the beer went home with the East Coast people. And it was basically me and another guy who got to split it all. And I took all the Heineken and the Allagash, and he took like the Bud Light Lime. And
why did you guys buy Bud Light Lime?
I don't understand. I think they go to like Costco for beer.
Oh yeah. Who bought the Bud Light Lime?
I have no idea. But I accidentally took one of them home and I had it last night and it was not good. Very limey, though. No. Yeah.
Would you have rather have had normal Bud Light, or does the fake lime flavor kind of improve it just by covering it
entirely? It didn't feel like that.
Okay.
And Jason Sudeikis just won.
For Ted Lasso.
Oh. For Ted Lasso, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
It's like... He beat Steve Martin and Martin Short, I believe.
We're recording while the Emmys are going on, and there might be updates if we remember to...
To look. Yeah, I definitely didn't remember to look. That is very... I mean, I'm not unhappy with it, but, like, Martin Short and Steve Martin are really good.
Yeah, Sudeikis is
always good. Yeah.
That season was so long ago, it's hard to remember.
Yeah. I mean, I was very happy that Brett Goldstein won, but.
You know who's probably real mad right now is the coward Cord Lasselton, who will still refuses to come on the podcast to debate us about Ted Lasso season two. And you know what? That's okay.
Unless, what if Cord Lasselton hates Only Murders in the Building even more?
Oh.
What if he's a hater? What if he's like, you know what? I'm on board with Jason Sudeikis beating out Steve Martin and Martin Short because I am joyless.
He's giving a speech now, and it's on mute. I have no idea what he's saying. I just assume that he's shitting all over Olivia Wilde right now.
Okay, you can't just assume.
Well, that feels
okay. Quick, turn it off mute. We're doing this live. It'll make so much sense when this goes out on Wednesday.
He's like, yes, I did. Purposely serve her there.
What if they weren't even, I mean, they were, but I always like to imagine, like, what if he's just not clarifying that they weren't custody papers? They were literally like just old documents that she left.
You left these at her house.
Yeah, we couldn't figure you. You've been dodging me, so I sent someone to hand you like your old diary, some takeout menus.
Tori, what are you drinking?
Oh, so I've got a Focal Banger, which is from The Alchemist. They're the ones who also do Heady Topper.
Yeah. Fancy beer.
It's very fancy. It's also very alcoholic. So I'm in a bit of a quandary because I'm almost done with this can, but I really shouldn't have a second can. I feel like I should move to the Green State Lager just to like hydrate myself.
And that's a tall boy. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's very good. But it's an India Pale Ale. That company is basically the only IPAs I can tolerate.
They know what they're doing in India.
Literally not what that is. And you are such an asshole.
Oh god.
You know this.
I know. You explained it to me.
I know. Also apparently something about drinking beer out of wine glasses, which I don't recall.
You definitely did though.
Oh, I know.
What are you drinking, Dan?
Oh, I'm there's actually a little left, so I might not finish it. But I'm drinking Glenlivet whiskey, and I don't normally have it with ice, but it's been warm, so I'm having it with ice.
So your power's been out, and because of the heat wave.
Is this the heat wave?
It was. Yes. Yeah, so the heat wave is mostly over, I think, but the power was out a little bit yesterday, and a little bit today. I think just from everyone running all of their appliances. So it came back luckily about a half hour before we started recording.
Does it get super hot when the power's out?
Well, my apartment does not have air conditioning anyway, except for one, I have one of those portable units. So I can run that in the bedroom, but it's very loud. So I don't leave it on. So it's warm anyway, but it didn't change anything too much except that I had no internet.
The big floor unit with the tube that goes out the window.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which works fine, but yeah, it's just the whole thing's in your room, right? So it's loud.
Yeah.
Quinta Brunson just won for writing.
Oh, good.
Good.
Yeah. Good for her.
All right. Question. Do you think so I was looking at the lead actress in a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, I feel like it's going to be down to her or Jean Smart for Hacks.
Oh, that's
but
hard.
Abbott Elementary is kind of having a night.
I think she wins.
I do.
You
too.
Think she? I still think Jean Smart.
You think they gave Quinta writing so that they could give it to Jean Smart for?
I'm not saying it was that calculated, but I do. I just.
That sometimes happens, but I feel like the Emmys especially really like when they can champion a network show, they'll do it.
Yeah. And I do think this is we're shaping up to almost a sweep as far as Abbott Elementary is doing really, really well. And it deserves to.
Well, Everybody Loves Chris did lose out to White Lotus Guy.
Wait, what?
But what? No, that can't happen.
I think in supporting they have
they're different categories.
No, he lost to Brett Goldstein.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Oh. So, okay. Sorry.
Which is sad because, again, I love him, but.
Tyler Dave Williams is his name, by the way.
No. I love Brett Goldstein. No,
I'm telling Dustin.
Tori used it first. Don't correct me. I know his name. I was just following her lead.
Okay.
He was in The Walking Dead. Of course I know his name.
No, but it's hard because it's three first names.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't remember. What's the math on that? Because if you have two first names as your name, that means you're evil?
Does it?
Yeah. I don't remember if it was evil, but it's supposed to be bad. But if you have three first names for your name, maybe it reverses it and means you're excellent. I mean,
maybe.
He is. So we'll have to find that out.
Three first names means you're not evil?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm wondering if it's just for every however long your name is, every time you add another first name to that, do you just keep vacillating between the polarities?
So does that mean that Sally Jesse Raphael is super good?
Oh,
well,
wow, that just throws us all. Well, I mean, maybe she had nice glasses.
She did. Yeah.
Let's see if there's any.
what's
alive.
The lore?
87 years old. Still alive.
Wow, 87.
Wow. Yeah.
How old's Phil Donahue? Did he die yet?
No, I don't think so. 87. That's almost as old as Dick Van Dyke.
How is she older than Dick Van Dyke?
No, Dick Van Dyke
is almost as old.
Almost as old, but still, how are
I
they?
Know.
How are they nearly contemporaries?
Yeah, I know.
Phil Donahue still alive, 86.
Damn.
Let's see.
All right, so Matthew McFadden won for Succession, supporting actor in a drama. Do you think he deserved it over Cousin Greg? And over.
Well, having
Kieran Culkin, if you had to pick, if you had to pick the Succession supporting actor, would you have given it?
I think McFadden is least in real life like his character, because the other two are, Kieran is basically
I know. He's Roman.
And from what I've seen of Nicholas Braun, he's not that different either than his character. Maybe smarter, but still sort of a goofy guy. But McFadden is like, I've only seen him in like serious roles before this.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. So, all right. But if we were to take, because so basically only actors from, well, no, I guess four shows technically, because Billy Crudup from Morning Show. But it's you've got
really good in the Morning Show.
So you've got three people from Succession in that category. You had two people from Squid Game, and then you had two people from Severance. And I do think it's wild that they gave one of them to, I mean, I loved Christopher Walken in Severance, but like to not give it to some of the other core cast is a little
right.
But John Turturro in Severance.
I mean, I think he probably deserved it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm, again, not saying I think that I do think Succession is a wonderful show, but like,
I think this Severance was better than this season of Succession.
Yeah. And Turturro was
outstanding.
Yes.
So good.
So anyway, I'm just playing this out. Some of these,
it's all a crapshoot.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's hard to know. This Wikipedia page does not have a ton about, I mean, it has stuff about her career, but the one thing that is interesting about Sally Jesse Raphael's life here is that she offered to induct Rush Limbaugh into the Radio Hall of Fame when he was voted in 93. Limbaugh accepted, only to see Raphael use her speech to speak out against the vote and excoriate Limbaugh.
Good for her.
So
good for her.
That's one point in her column.
So you know what? I'm back on three first names is good. It's only two first names that mean you're evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing we don't know anybody with two first names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are there any other categories that we care about? I mean, we're just going to keep looking at this as they come up.
Station 11 should have been nominated for everything.
Yes. I am still upset that Olivia Colman in Landscapers didn't get one just because she's great. I will say, this is the category that I know is not going to win, but the, where is it? Best comedy. The fact that What We Do in the Shadows is nominated. And I love that the cast gets to go and be there. And I love that it's nominated. And I love that there is not a chance in hell that it's going to win. But like, genuinely, I'm really happy it's there. And it maybe is my favorite show on that list.
That wrapped up last week, by the way.
It did.
Yes.
It was a good one. We've got Colin Robinson back.
Yeah, I was actually, I know everybody seemed to love this Colin Robinson arc, but I really just liked Energy Vampire Colin Robinson.
Well, you're going to get him again.
Yeah, I was really happy about that because I didn't love the little
kid thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was so much him. I thought it was, I mean, I think it was kind of annoying to have the little kid character, but I liked what it did to the other characters. Like, sure. I liked the way it deepened the lore around, like, oh, vampires just really like watching kids do weird things. Like, so it made it a draw for the club and, like, yeah, all of that. And I liked, I mean, the Matt Berry stuff was great. I thought it was overall a pretty good season.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was good. I like Reservation Dogs better this year.
Yeah, and they should have been nominated.
Yes.
And the fact that they weren't nominated for anything.
I think, yeah, the Emmys are just behind.
They're behind. I hope they get nominated for this past season. Like, I hope next Emmys recognizes it, because this season has been great.
Fantastic, yes.
They're in kind of a weird, tough spot, because they air so far away from...
They air like right when the Emmys is airing, and then it's over. Like as a summer show, like it's just, I mean, it's the Better Call Saul problem.
Well, the Better Call Saul got lucky this year because they fell on both sides, so they
get on both sides. Well, so that's right, because they technically have a shot during next Emmys too, right?
Yes, and that happened to Breaking Bad. And I think by the time the last season was finally up for Emmys, everybody's like, eh, we already gave them everything last year.
Right, but they didn't give everything to Better Call Saul.
Not, yeah, they didn't give it to Ray, and that's what matters.
So, yeah, it's going to be good, I guess. I don't know.
You guys want to watch talk about TV?
Yeah, we should.
We've been talking about TV this whole time, Dustin.
No, I just mean, you know, TV that we watched this week.
You're talking about TV that you are watching right now.
It's true enough.
All right. How about, why don't, well, sorry, Tori.
No, I was just, I just saw the lead actor category and I'm like, what if Jason Bateman? I'm sorry.
Oh, is that what's next?
But it's, I don't know if it's next, but I'm just looking at it because he's up for Ozark. And then you've got two dudes from Succession, Better Call Saul. You got Odenkirk for Better Call Saul. Two people. No. And then Adam Scott for Severance and Lee Jung-jae for Squid Game.
Like, yeah.
So many people who could. I'm not saying Jason Bateman's great, but like.
Zendaya just won. Wow.
No.
Yeah.
For Euphoria. No.
For Euphoria.
Yeah, but who did. No, but that category.
I think that category is probably Linsky. Sucked.
She beat Laura Melanie Linney. Linsky.
Sandra Oh.
She beat Melanie Linsky.
Like, she was really good in Euphoria. Euphoria is a shit show, but she's really good in it.
All right.
And no, she does the whole drug addict thing. She's like, it's like the perfect sort of like in relapse and recovery.
Melanie
and
Linsky killed a rabbit.
I know.
All right. Okay. All right. Actual television. What do you want to start with, Dan?
We might as well start with The Patient.
Is that just because I wrote it at the top of the list?
Yes. And also, I haven't seen it yet. So.
Okay. The Patient is a show on Apple or FX?
FX.
FX, okay. I forget where I watch things these days. This beer is great. So it is a show starring Steve Carell as a therapist. And Donald Gleason as his patient, the patient of the title, who happens to be a serial killer. A fact that he is uncomfortable divulging during their sessions. And Steve Carell is like, well, you know, you probably like, I feel like we're not getting anywhere in our sessions. So like, you know, maybe we should rethink this. And then Donald Gleason kidnaps him. So that he can be fully honest while keeping Steve Carell chained in his basement for therapy. And each episode proceeds with that, where it's like he genuinely wants to stop killing people, but also he, at least the last episode I saw, he had dragged someone home and put him in the bathroom that's also in the storage room somewhere, also in the basement. Turns out Donald Gleason's living with his mother. The mother is aware that all this is happening and is doing, has been, Steve Carell convinces them to do not couples therapy, but like family counseling so that he can try and like appeal to the mom because like she's the only hope he has of just like getting out, but she's totally like, you know, obviously I don't condone what my son is doing, but like I love and support him. And the best part about the show is that it is, yeah, it's like 25 minutes an episode. It's so short.
My very favorite thing besides the amazing runtime is the fact that Donald Gleason's serial killer character is a health inspector for restaurants.
Me too.
I love that.
Just, I mean, okay, so all I want, okay, so he's very attractive.
Yes.
He brings amazing food and knows all about food. Yes. So like I want to date restaurant inspectors now. it's really hard because I don't know that there's actually a sexier actor character combination on television right now. That like it just ticks all of right, ticks all of my boxes, but he just happens to be a serial killer, and you know,
it's sometimes okay. That happens. Sometimes
it happens.
Not no.
He doesn't want to be, and that's the important thing. Yeah,
and that's, and really, you know,
he's seeking help.
asking for help is a huge step. Wanting self-improvement, right?
Like exactly.
And is there maybe a bit of, you know, commentary going on? Are we examining the role of permissive parents? You know, perhaps.
Maybe.
And who hasn't wanted to just chain Steve Carell to a basement with like one of those little teacups? I don't know.
And Steve Carell is so good in this. So good. And he's got the perfect amount of beard too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the, I'm not saying his performance relies entirely on the facial hair and the grooming and the costuming look, but there's all of it. Like he has a whole package that comes together as this like very beleaguered kind of academic and not funny. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very dramatic. I mean, you know, it's Carell in his kind of drama zone, but good.
Yes.
And it's just so, it's great. And it's short.
So short.
It's so slight. Oh my God. If they had tried to drag those episodes out for an hour.
And after the first week, they're doing one episode a week.
It's yeah.
20 minutes a week. That's all.
I forgot what it's like for a show to end and me to actually be like a little sorry that there's not a couple more minutes. It ends and I'm like, oh, that's all we get this week? As opposed to some shows I've seen. Like, what is the runtime on the Rings of Power? Because
hour nine.
I was going to say, it's got to be over an hour because every episode I'm like, I feel like I just watched a friggin' movie. Oh. I mean, I know that should be a compliment, but like, I kind of don't mean it as one.
No. If I wanted to watch a movie, I'd watch a goddamn movie.
I'd watch a movie. To watch movies, and I can't because I have to watch The Rings of Power.
It's fascinating to me that this is, so since I haven't watched it, that, I mean, among all of the praise, some of the biggest praise is that the runtime is short. And, okay. But also in my head, I'm like, that makes the show so much more appealing.
But it's like, and it's really, and I don't want to like harp on that to detract from anything else. It's not like it's great. It's short, therefore it's great, but it's like, it's great and it's short. It's not one. It has all of the, everything that should be what we would imagine a prestige drama to be, but you're in and out. Like, and I think that's it. I think you think about something like Barry or, you know, whatever, we've gotten used to half hour being comedy, hour being drama. And then we've started pushing the envelope, like, okay, you know, you can have a half hour comedy, but it's like mostly drama, or the longer shows that are, you know, pretty funny. And this is like, no, we're going to do a half hour drama. It's not a comedy. Right. It reminds me of, what was the name of the show with Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell?
Oh, that wasn't a very good show, but I remember.
No, it wasn't, but just in the sense of like that one, you went into it feeling like it should be a comedy because it was a half an hour. Shrink Next Door.
Yeah.
And because it had these two comedic actors, but like as you watched it, you're like, oh no, it's just a straight up drama.
Yeah.
This is that only without even you getting confused about whether it should be a comedy. It's just a really small, contained, well done drama.
You know, interestingly, The Bear also had very short episodes, but they released it all at once, so you didn't really get the benefit of that.
Right. And it's true. Like, people weren't able to, like, watch just one episode.
Right. That was impossible. That was an amazing show.
I still haven't seen it. It looks too stressful for me.
Are you still having Oh, my God. Oh, Jean Smart won.
Yes!
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Wow. I'm sorry, Quinta. I'm really like, I love Abbott Elementary. I also really love Hacks.
So that's The Patient.
That's The Patient.
FX. Is it on FX on Hulu or is it an FX show that's on Hulu?
I think it's an FX show that's only on Hulu. Yeah.
Are you
not on FX?
But FX
What is on FX besides It's Always Sunny and Ryan Murphy?
If they get rid of FX on Hulu, then don't all of their shows have to air on FX? Are they actually doing Hulu exclusive shows but not branding it FX on Hulu?
I think so. Does Reservation Dogs come on FX? Because it didn't last year.
It didn't last year. No. It doesn't at all.
It's not on FX. It's only on Hulu.
Well, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
And I think The Patience is the same thing. It's FX on Hulu only.
All right, then
why is Wrexham, weirdly, I think is on FX.
It is on FX, yeah.
But of course it is. And also Hulu, obviously.
I don't understand their model whatsoever.
So why did they get rid of FX on Hulu? If they're still essentially functionally doing FX on Hulu.
I think that it was a bad branding. But
they still call it FX on Hulu, kind of.
They do? But I thought the whole point was that they killed the branding.
But they still do the FX logo before any...
Logistically, that's what it's called. It's FX on Hulu, so what else are you going to call it?
You know, just I Hulu? Used to...
Okay, so the pay... Here's what on the FX network's site, it says, The Patient, only on Hulu, but then it still has the FX badge. As being like an FX show, and their official hashtag is The Patient FX.
So, I mean, were some of these like in development when it was supposed to be FX on Hulu, and they're just now still running it through?
I think maybe it's sort of. I mean, Hulu is just the FX streamer, so there's some AMC shows that are only on AMC Plus and not AMC.
Right, but then they become AMC Plus
shows,
like originals. They're exclusive.
I guess they just FX wants to have it separate sort of.
Well, I guess
identity on Hulu.
The hub on Hulu is still just branded FX, but so it's not FX on Hulu. It's just FX, streaming on Hulu.
And there are shows like that are only available on Hulu. We're doing the inverse of the argument that we used to have.
I think we've had this conversation before, too.
We have, except that it used to mean something else. I'm so angry. Anyway,
The Patient is only on Hulu. It is an FX show that is only on Hulu.
Anyway, it's good.
Similar to Reservation Dogs. Okay. I guess I should watch it.
You should.
It's short.
I mean, that helps.
Yeah. You know what else is short?
What's that?
Those are Spookies.
That's not even out yet.
It's the first season. You can catch up on it in time for the second season, which starts, I think, on Friday.
I thought you were going to say, you know what else is short is She-Hulk.
Oh, you mean like a show that we're actually going to talk about this week?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, She-Hulk.
Do you want to talk about Los Spookies?
No. I will, like, I want to talk about it next week when it airs.
Well, there you go.
No, She-Hulk. So Madison is a drunk girl who
She was great.
She was great. I'm kind of... I like how everyone has just sort of glommed onto her as like our new favorite character, and she's come out of nowhere. And I really hope that she continues to have bearing on the MCU in some capacity, because it's nice for the MCU to just be fun.
Right. And is Madison based on anyone in a comic?
So, no.
Okay.
I just winked. I have to say that because I realize that we're not on video. No, she is not. She is not based on any character in the comics. However, and this is the whole, like, her storyline, the fact that she was shoved through a portal into a fiery dimension filled with goblins and made a pact with a demon to get out of it, obviously made everyone think of Mephisto. Who people assumed the demonic character from Marvel Comics that everyone thought was being hinted at in WandaVision. So, you know, does she have anything? And the fact that she spells her name with Madison, S-Y-N-N. Like, I don't know. It's like, it seems sort of evil. I don't know. Anyway, so... yeah, people were kind of like, oh God, they're like hinting at Mephisto again, which yeah, they kind of are. But I think that they're referencing, my theory is that they're referencing the trolling. They're trolling everyone who assumed it was going to happen in WandaVision. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're actually introducing Mephisto. But there were a number of other kind of hints that, and again, this is like, if you squint and know too much about the comics, there's a lot of stuff that you can go, oh, she mentioned Goblin King. And like, you know, what if she's actually a riff on this character that became the Goblin Queen and blah, 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 blah. And like, it's all just trying to bait fans. Like none of it is real. What actually matters is that she keeps spoiling television shows for Wong.
Right.
And that is all that matters. And that is what her character should continue to do.
I also did like that the when she first kind of like falls into Wong's lair through the portal, she just very casually is carrying a heart that she ripped out of something and sort of drops it.
Well, and that's it. Like, you know, I could see a certain, you know, they could reveal her to be anything at, you know, at some point down the line.
I was just going to say, I love that Billy Walsh from Entourage is the only guy that really made it out of Entourage and continues to have like a decent career as a character actor, but still, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yeah, yeah. He pops up in things all the time, and you're like, oh, it's Billy Walsh from Entourage.
I was trying to remember, because he did look very familiar.
Yeah. Donnie Blaze was Billy Walsh from Entourage.
Oh.
He was like the sleazy director that recurred on Entourage for many seasons.
Well, like all the, in the dating montage, they had a bunch of semi-famous people. Mm. I was like, John Bass or whatever was like one of the people that she goes on. Why do they all look familiar? Yeah.
Well, John Bass, it felt like, he almost felt like they were setting him up to be something more
to come
later.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a little small for him.
Yeah. But I think that's part of it. Like I can't really get an accurate read on She-Hulk. I mean, like, you know, we were led to believe that Titania, like Jamila Jamil, was going to be this huge character this season, and she has not appeared. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she'll come next week now that we know that she's suing Jennifer Walters, but I don't know. So I like, it's kind of thwarting expectations left and right.
Yeah.
I don't know what's important. I thought Wong was going to be a one episode thing, and I love that he came back. Mm-hmm. Because it furthers my, this was something I was telling Mike Redmond, my one, like my line in the sand with the MCU is Wong and his continued survival and ideally his thriving. But as long as a movie doesn't kill him off, I'm not going to be too angry. So I like when the new Doctor Strange movie came out, I asked Mike, I was like, this is the one thing I need you to spoil for me. Like, just tell me Wong makes it. It's like, he does. And so when Wong came back this week, it, like Mike literally sent me a message being like, congratulations on Wong. I'm like, thank you. Like, this is like all I care about. Please keep bringing him back.
Well, I liked her line to the camera at the beginning of the episode about how having Wong on is Twitter armor. Like, you can't talk shit about us because we had Wong on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's a lot of that. I mean, even like the end where they're like, you know, oh, bet we have a fun tag, like, cause it's a bad ending. Like, it's, I do like the fact that the show is very self-aware and it uses that kind of meta breaking the fourth wall to call out all of those instincts that mm-hmm. viewers have. It knows the behavior and it's not just through those kind of talking to camera moments. I think the show overall, like it's that episode in particular was about trolling fans who are looking for these clues and are more concerned with yarn walling some random reference. So it overloads, like if you want to go down different rabbit holes, you can, but like, it's all like, none of them matter. Like that's not what's going on. And because it's all a distraction from what the episode is actually about. And so I like that the show is like clued in enough that it's really playing with the audience, even to the point of just knowing, you know, even if sometimes that playing is just like, yeah, people are kind of going to be jerks about this show. And the fact that they wrote it before knowing the reactions, like, anyway, so I'm enjoying it. But again, it is a half hour show. Mm-hmm. It is fun. And then it's over and you can move on with your week.
Best kind of show.
Yep.
As opposed to Lord of the Rings. Do we want to go there?
Well, I think we're doing a battle, right? Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings.
There's a battle. Oh, yeah.
Did you want to talk about American Gigolo before? I feel like that's sure.
American Gigolo is a remake of the Richard Gere movie. I think it's from the Ray Donovan creator, and it feels like a Ray Donovan type show. Sort of broad meat and potatoes, and it's like one of those shows like. For people that love Bernthal, you're like, what are you doing in this show? But I think for the majority of Americans, they're like, this is where John Bernthal should be, probably. But it's like, I don't know, it's fine. It's a little cheesy, a little 80s, but entertaining.
Yeah.
And a little pulpy, but not like, it's not going to win any awards.
No.
Even though Bernthal is amazing.
He's usually really good.
Yeah. He deserves better, but he doesn't get better for some reason.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, he was in We Own This City.
Yeah, he was. He was, yeah. And he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Here, he's just like he's a gigolo.
I never watched the Gear movie. I mean, is it?
I haven't seen the Gear movie. Are they? Okay. I haven't. Yeah, I mean, it's an old movie. It's just like a guy who goes to prison. He's like a gigolo who goes to prison for
gigoloing.
No, for murder. He's framed for a murder. He gets out of prison 15 years later, and then he decides to go back into the business in order to find out who hired the person to kill him.
Oh.
I mean, to frame him.
To frame him.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Wayne Brady's in it, and he's kind of a sleazy, I don't know what he is. He's like, helps to run the escort service. But he's amusing as hell. But again, you know, Showtime quality series. And not like the great Showtime.
Yeah, I was going to say, there used to be good Showtime shows.
Well, there's still Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
But this falls into the sort of, you know.
Also ran of Showtime shows.
Right. Nobody's going to subscribe to Showtime for American Gigolo.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Thanks, Dustin.
Squid Game, I think, won for director.
Oh, for drama? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked like Ted Lasso won for comedy director.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No, that was lead actor.
No, he won for lead actor.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
Oh.
He beat Odenkirk, and Odenkirk had a fucking heart attack. Wow.
I mean, he was really good. I get it. But.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Okay.
I did not give that a. Yeah.
No, I did not think he was going to win. Wow. Okay. Well, good for Netflix for getting. Well, I guess. And Jesse Armstrong won for writing Succession.
And Better Call Saul is getting shut out tonight.
Yep.
Goddamn Emmys. He had a heart attack. What do you got to do?
All right.
We're just going to be distracted by this. Okay. Rings of Power, Hot D.
This doesn't have to actually be a competition. It's just the fact that, like, I don't know. No. There are two of them now.
I feel like it's a drubbing, but maybe I'm.
Is that a drubbing term? Who's drubbing whom?
Hot D is drubbing rings.
Really?
What does drubbing mean?
And kicking its ass.
No, you think? Because everyone seems much more.
Particularly after last night's.
Oh. Yeah, well, you can't just. I mean, I don't think it's a drubbing if they throw some incest in.
I feel like possible incest. Last night's episode was kind of the one that made me think maybe I'm done with.
Oh, Hot really?
Dude. Hot
yeah.
I gave it a lot of intrigue to me.
Well, here's my reasoning. Like, there's been something about the show that's felt just a little bit off. Like, it's not big stuff, but, like, it's small stuff where, like, sometimes the language is just slightly different. And, again, look, it's a different show. It's fine. It should be different. But, like, it's felt a little bit like it's trying to be Game of Thrones rather than just being, like, a Game of Thrones, which is tricky and, you know, not enviable because it's an impossible thing to try to follow. But all of that, and then there's also Sonoya Mizuno's bizarre accent, which
continues to not quite continues it was to but it was baffle. Better this week at times,
but she only had one scene again, or it was very I right, guess she yeah it was very short scene, but
and they didn't actually explain that she is the White Worm. Like, her character is supposed to be, like, important. Right. And there's, like, you hear that, like, a messenger from the White Worm was sent, but, like,
I don't know. I didn't connect that was her.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if the show wants you to connect it yet, but I think that's her.
Oh.
Wait, who is the White Worm?
Sonoya Mizuno. Like, remember the prostitute that Daemon had taken out of King's Landing with him to Dragonstone, and then apparently sometime during the war, she went back
and became like an innkeeper, but now has power of some sort,
or an info broker, or something like it. Yeah. And I think so. This is my problem with the show, is that the passage of time in it, it's not like Game of Thrones never took time jumps,
right?
But this is like there is an unspecified jump every episode. And I know it's going to continue getting worse, because, like, we know at some point the Rhaenyra's, I'm never going to remember their names, and Alicent, like, we know other actors play them as adults. Like, this, we know they're going to get aged out.
Right.
In the course of 4 episodes, we've covered at least 6 years with stuff just sort of, like, having happened in the break. And I think it really does something to the dramatic tension, because it's like, I don't know how he broke up with this woman that the show hasn't even really explicitly underlined is the White Worm. Like, I don't
But he's also married. Do we know who he's married to?
We've never met his wife.
She is somewhere else.
She's in the Vale. And then we know that, like, as far as I remembered, last week, Rhaenyra and Alicent were still mad at each other. Well, you know, bitter about the whole marriage thing. And this week they've, like, you know, because enough time has elapsed, they've patched things up and they're friends again. Like, it's, and so it really kind of leeches some of the dramatic tension when it's just like the actual state of these characters. So much has happened in between episodes that we're coming into, like, an entirely new paradigm that isn't defined.
Right.
And you know, you can kind of follow along, but it's like, I don't know if something, aren't those kind of shifts the things we should watch?
Right. And it's leading to, like, a problem that actually, I feel like, is leading to the problem that I'm running into with it, is that, like, because of that, it feels like more has to be explained, in which like by design, by necessity, but which feels very much like a thing that Game of Thrones fought against, like the original show, where like you're learning people's relationships through us, through like, even if it's just two people talking, you're learning their, you're not learning their relationship through them talking about what they're talking about. They're talking about like a story from 1,000 years ago. And, right. and like in that you're getting all the subtext of like, oh, this is the dynamic between these two. But because this is jumping through so much time and they have to constantly catch us up, that like they're catching us up talking about themselves and talking about what's happened in ways that it's not, again, it's still a well-made show. It's just, it doesn't, it makes it feel, I don't know, more, it just feels like a lot of other shows where there's so much world building that the storytelling has to be simplified. And I think I'm finding that that's something, like I've had a problem with that in every giant show, like Foundation or or the, I've only seen the first episode, but the first episode of Lord of the Rings, where it's just like there's so much that they're trying to set up, which I get, and you know, I understand it gets, it improves, but it's always tough to hang with that sometimes.
And I will say, just like a show that does undefined time jumps really well, and we've talked about this before, is Succession. Mm-hmm. Like, and part of that is because events, like pivotal events that seem like they should be important to the plot, will be resolved off screen, but the underlying dynamics of the characters are constant. Mm-hmm. And so it allows, like, the drama is always between those characters, and because that is always, like, we're always grounded in the state of affairs of, how, like, how these characters relate to each other. So it's like, yeah, okay, fine. We didn't actually see how some congressional hearing went or whatever, because that isn't, and it shouldn't, like, it's something that logically shouldn't work, but it does in Succession. And I think here it's something where it's like, no, whatever is happening off screen is impacting these character relationships and making it so that from episode to episode, I feel like I'm struggling. Like I just figured out what their, you know, relationship was last week. And now I'm trying to catch on to like, to intuit what has changed. Mm-hmm. And it's fine if it's like, yeah, something happened off screen, but like when I feel like that's happening every single week, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah. Also, Matt Smith's plan to beat the crab guy was not a good plan, and
but it was Matt Smith.
Was it?
I love Matt Smith.
He went in. So there was no dialogue. That was the best scene of this whole show. The show has done anything near. Yes.
Okay, right. So it's a video game sequence where he has a lot of plot armor. Just goes and the crab king or whatever his name, his plan is like, oh, there's one guy, I'd better send all of my forces at him, because I mean, it turns out he was killing everybody, so I guess that was the correct
plan. The one thing I like is that, like, so it starts off and you're like, oh god, this is one of those plot armor things, but like he does get surrounded, like there was a point where he really could have lost,
right?
And I like that, like it starts out strong, then undercuts your expectation by like, oh no, like at some point he does get cornered, and then it's only because everyone else catches up and like, right. You know, and luckily they had them out so that the dragon can come.
And, like, and luckily they had no idea the dragon was on its way. They couldn't see the dragon flying.
It just shockingly, like, no, dragons are completely, they're stealth flyers.
I'm mostly saying this out of jest, but it was like, it didn't have the dread of like, I'm forgetting the name of the battle now, but the one where Jon Snow is like surrounded and, that felt like, oh wow, this is insane. Like
real danger. Yeah, kinda, yeah.
This felt kind of like this felt, again, it felt normal in a way where Game of Thrones often has been able to go beyond that.
Right. No, that's fair. I think right now, the only thing that goes beyond normal on this show is Matt Smith. Like, I think his performance, and it's amazing. Like, part of why I think it works is because he's not the main character. Like, he shows up and I'm so thankful he's there, because he at least is, the way he will perform some of the stuff is unexpected.
I think Rhaenyra in last night's episode was really good.
Yes.
But I also, I love the fact that the incest is not, it's not like he's in love with her. He's using that as a political move, which I think is different than Game of Thrones.
But also, like, I didn't realize, and this is one of those, like, so I, watching the scene play out, I thought he was toying with her and it was just to, like, because he knew it would get back to the dad and there would be, like, a rise out of it. And then I made the mistake of sitting through the, like, you know, making Hot D or whatever, where they, you know, the directors and the writers and everybody talks about it. And they're like, yeah, so he was impotent. And I'm like,
what?
I didn't. Yeah, that whole scene, like him choosing not to, it was supposed to be that he couldn't get it up. Because suddenly, like, he thought he was luring her, and then when she got into it, we didn't talk about Rings of Power.
I mean, we've ignored it before.
Ted Lasso just won a comedy, by the way.
Okay. Wow. Wait, real fast. You only watched the first episode of Rings of Power, right?
Yes.
What did you think of the first episode?
It's very pretty.
The first episode was not good. It's, like, the show gets better, but the first episode is just so much. It's just a lot, like, of setup.
I agree and with, like, that.
It felt like it's kind of hinging on this promise of, like, hey, these are characters you remember from the movies or from the books. I'm sure it makes more sense to people who read the books. I didn't read the Silmarillion or whatever this is based on.
Silmarillion or whatever. Yeah.
But even like, you know, I've seen the movies, so I know the. Like when they reference Galadriel and what's his name?
Elrond.
Agent Smith. I was like, oh, okay. So these are them when they're thousands of years younger, which is cool. But, like, I don't that felt like that was all they were hinging it on right now. These are characters who you know will become important. So,
but they're not yet.
To them. Yeah.
I felt that way for the first couple of episodes. I will say the most recent episode, and it was only because, and this is where I think there will be a divide between the people who really are sort of Tolkien lore fanatics, remember, because there are characters that are being introduced that aren't necessarily like Galadriel, but like their name is recognizable. If you remember everything about the Lord of the Rings. And so, like, one that just happened in the most recent episode was Isildur. Like, you find out that, like, this captain rescues Galadriel and takes her to Numenor or Nomenor or whatever, this, like, other island country of humans that used to be helped by elves and blah, blah, blah. It's like a bunch of lore that I do not recall. But then he's like, oh, and he has a son. And they say this kid's name, and I'm like, and they do that kind of hero shot where you're like, oh, okay, so he's going to be a new character. And I was like, why does his name look familiar? And I did the thing where I'm like, I should have just waited, but I Googled, and I was like, his name is familiar because he was in the backstory montage in Lord of the Rings where it's like, yeah, so the king of man, whatever, the one who cuts Sauron's hand takes the ring of power and gets it and then is corrupted and then it is lost. Like, so you're seeing, so it's, you know, and that is a character that never, you know, literally was just in this flashback, backstory montage in the Lord of the Rings.
Right.
But, you know, now I have a feeling he is going to be a big part of the story moving forward. So I think Rings of Power, each week I get more into it, but there's still a certain distance where it relies a lot on how invested or how much you remember about all of this and how much you care. And I still think there's too many characters the show is relying on me having all of the other knowledge to invest meaning. Whereas I'm not sure the show, other than being very pretty, I'm not sure that it has given me as much reason among all of these characters to be invested.
I will say, I know I couldn't finish the Lord of the Rings movies because I hated them so much. So I don't know any of the lore, but I do find that the show is getting increasingly better.
Yeah.
But it still feels, because of the length, it really just feels like a chore. Just like, God damn.
I could have sworn the last episode was 2 hours. I felt like I've been watching it forever.
And House of the Dragon is also an hour, but it doesn't feel like it just, it, like it crawls.
Oh, it's probably all the boobs.
Yeah, could be that. Although the orc, is that, they called that orc fight? That was pretty interesting.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, the thing is really well done. And I agree with, there's a piece that I think Roxana wrote about, like, what's nice about Lord of the Rings is that you can actually see the action. It's not so dark.
Right.
Like, it's a show that managed to, like, be fantasy while also, like, having everything visible and being really, and, like, it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, it's weird to be, like, it's just nice to see something that's well lit, but it is.
Just wish it had, like, a scene stealer or two. I mean, the when they went, was that last week when they went into the world in the cave with the people?
With the dwarves?
Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah, that was kind of fun.
That was kind of fun. And I'm getting into Galadriel's The King of the Southlands.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
He's turning into, and I'm assuming he's, I'm not up on my Lord of the Rings lore, but I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be one of the Aragorn's ancestors or whatever.
Are we supposed to know who the stranger is?
I mean, isn't that Gandalf? Like, who the hell else would fall out of the friggin' sky? I mean, I'm genuinely asking. I don't know, but I'm just sort of like, it's weird that they haven't named him yet, because I'm like, I cannot imagine who else.
Oh, was that the meteor?
Yeah, meteor okay. Dude. I'm like, oh. Unless it's Saruman. Like, it's got to be some kind of friggin' wizard.
All right, we got best drama, just got named. I'm trying to figure it out and mute from the table. It's Succession.
Of course it is.
So Succession, Ted Lasso, and White Lotus were the big winners. So Succession and Ted Lasso were last year's big winners. It was a different limited series last year. So kind of a repeat, except Abbott Elementary got some nice wins.
And yeah, Squid Game for the surprise.
I feel like Abbott Elementary should savor that, because 22 episode season is not going to help it next year.
I don't know. What's it called? Kept winning.
Modern Family. Yeah. I mean, the thing, it keeps it in people's minds.
Yeah.
Like that is a year long domination that a lot of these shows don't have. That you're not going to run into the, like, oh, it aired during the summer, we don't remember.
Yeah. And you're not voting on the whole, I mean, you know, you're voting on what they send you.
Submit, so. Yeah.
Right. All right, well, you know, Emmys happened. Yay, television.
Sure enough.
So now, if you listen to this podcast and sync it up with the last hour or so of the Emmys, then it'll make for a real nice treat. Because I know everyone wants to rewatch the Emmys, which they recorded on their DVR.
You too can talk about the Ivy League schools during the 10 minutes of...
We learned something, all right? We learned that. We learned about Sally Jesse Raphael. Dustin said some wrong things about IPAs. It's been a full show.
Indeed it has.
I forgot that we talked about colleges. Awesome. Right. We're doing great, guys.
We're doing great. Everyone's doing great. And we'll be back next week. It premieres on Monday. Huh? I was going to ask if Quantum Leap will have premiered, but I think it will be the same night we're recording.
So. Guys, we're obviously going to watch it and live commentary. Yeah. That will post next, 2 days next week, later.
Next week's episode will just be a live commentary on.
I am fine with that.
And we'll be talking about how we don't remember the original clearly enough. What is the Quantum Leap lore?
I just gathered maybe from the commercial that maybe instead of saying "oh boy," he's going to say "oh shit," and it's going to get bleeped. Like, he'll say "oh sh," and then it'll cut. That's what I think is going to be the gimmick. it'll cut to the theme song every time he says, oh shit, and then.
So like Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's the show I was trying to think of that did that. I knew it went on somewhere. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about that maybe. Well, I guess not next week, but in 2 weeks. We'll talk about it at some point. It's
yep.
We talk about TV. You get it. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.